time for The Daily Review, a podcast dedicated to reviews and discussion of TV, movies, and books. Look for us at Daily Review on Facebook and Twitter and dailyreview.com on the web. That's DaleyReview.com.
This is Paul Daly here with my wife, Caroline.
Hey, guys.
And we're here to discuss the seventh episode of The Orville. This one was called Majority Rule.
I've got to tell you, Paul, that this cold open was so unfamiliar that I actually turned off the recording, went back, and checked, did I actually click on The Orville? Because this seems like I'm watching something completely different.
It was just a normal person doing normal morning stuff. And the only difference was that you could see the little red and green badges, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that let us know we're looking, you know, science fiction-y something. But they were talking about whatever they did in very generic terms, in very familiar terms, in the same way that...
Could have been a show that was filmed right now, about right now.
It didn't look like The Orville. To me either.
Not at all. Did that work for you? Did it like, you know, help set the scene? Like, oh, did that just catch you as familiar? Well, guess what? That's a whole other planet.
Yeah, it worked for me. Yeah. That they can do that all day long. They can open up the show like that as often as they need to. I think it lets us know something more unusual is coming, you know? Like most of the shows do open with, you know, something mundane happening aboard the ship, you know? So starting another way is a good way of keeping things interesting.
So the setup for this episode was that we had two Union anthropologists who had gone to Sargus IV to investigate their culture and kind of bring back information, but they had gone radio silent. And so it was up to the Orville to send some people down and try to make contact and hopefully extract them, get them back to safety.
Something a lot like this in... I think it is Star Trek First Contact. Same idea, where there's a primitive society that we're watching in secret. And, or not we, but Starfleet is watching in secret. And the people, I think it's like Data is with them, and Data like malfunctions and they have to go find Data before he reveals himself to the people. That concept, remember... A few episodes ago, we were wondering, does this show have a prime directive or not?
Yeah.
Mercer kind of mentioned something a little like a prime directive, like that they want to do everything they can to not be noticed by this culture. But it didn't sound like a hard and fast, you know, you lose your career kind of rule with the Planetary Union as it does in Starfleet, which is just fine. They don't need to be a carbon copy of Starfleet. But it was interesting to hear that. You know, as a sci-fi nerd guy, I'm like, you didn't even mention it in this other episode. And then in this episode, it's like, well, we do have to kind of
play by these rules. Well, I feel like they handled it so differently. Like you're talking about the one where they, what was the name of the episode where Kelly gets captured? And they handled that so completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, Liam Neeson.
They didn't attempt to... in any way, you know, wear the right clothing or act like anything like anyone else in the culture. And
you
then this one is like the total opposite. They're like specifically trying to find the right clothes, the right everything to look just so.
But they're only like halfway there with understanding the cultural nuances of where they're going. I mean, they just went in blind by the sounds of it. I mean,
but that was the point of the anthropologist, right? Was that they were supposed to be figuring out what was going on this planet and let us know. And when they didn't let us know, that's when we stepped in.
I just wonder, did they not report in at all? They had nothing? There was nothing that they could tell them?
I don't know. That's a good call that there wasn't any bit of information at all.
Well, you probably don't need to have, you know, the briefing from the anthropologist to know that dry humping a statue is probably a frown factor in any society.
I agree. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the team that they decide to send down to Sargus IV.
It seemed like a frickin' mismatch to me. I mean, Lamar, I've already complained that Jay Lee does not He's not the strongest actor in the group, right?
Did you know that he started off as the receptionist at the McFarlane Enterprises?
Well, I did not know that, but I have looked at his IMDb and I have seen that he has risen through the McFarlane ranks. He has He has performed on all his shows as like a production assistant, which, if you don't know, is a very low ranking position that is just whatever your boss tells you to do. That's what you're assisting with right then. It's not a set thing. But he also was voice talent. He also did on air voice acting, too. So, yeah, he ran the whole spectrum.
And was a receptionist.
There you go. So Jay Lee does the acting for John Lamar. And so I've never really been convinced by his acting. He does a little bit of funny stuff here and there. But so he gets this task of being the scapegoat this
but
week.
Why do you think he was even off the ship?
That is a terrific question.
We had such a successful Scott Grimes episode that it just feels like, and even Scott Grimes' personality actually seems like it would have fit this even better. I'm a little wary about the idea of, I don't even really want to bring this up because I really don't know that this was an issue, but were they trying to play race here in any way? I mean, the other two anthropologists were white and they happened to be men and everything. So, I don't want to think that it was one of those things like, look, he was being accused of a crime he didn't commit and he's a black man. I don't want to think that's what we're saying.
Oh, so you're going like, I mean, we've already decided that the writers for this episode, which was Seth MacFarlane himself, were definitely doing some kind of message, you know, societal commentary kind of thing. So you think they added in another layer?
Well, I've seen other people mention things like specifically the Trayvon Martin case where they put out very specific photographs of him that didn't necessarily match the way he looked the day of the actual situation that we all knew about.
Uh-huh.
And so then to then go back in into the master feed and feed pictures of him being a kid. That's sort of what they did with the Trayvon Martin case, where they actually brought in, like, you know, he was wearing a football uniform and then he was like kind of a chubbier little kid in the other picture. Neither picture is what he looked like that day. But I didn't know if we were playing off of that at all. I mean, for me, I don't feel like that's something that they had to do. I mean, the societal weirdnesses and all the yuckiness about the popularity and, you know, playing this game of, you know, getting bashed by social media was a big enough message for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they were trying to add that layer. And that's why you would choose Lamar over Scott Grimes.
I mean, from a staffing standpoint, I guess with the ship not actually traveling, just kind of staying in orbit, the ship's navigator would not be necessarily required all the time. But you know, you can never expect when you're gonna need to leave in a hurry.
That's true.
He just, I would see keeping Lamar on the bridge at all times.
Well, what skills was he bringing to the table to be on the search team?
It seems like he had no skills to bring to the table. Seems like he was a complete mismatch in terms of being able to assimilate to this strange society. He didn't even, he didn't even like the genes.
Right. Do you like those types of genes on yourself?
Well, I mean, that's what you like on me. So, you know,
here's the other thing about that. I mean, I know you're saying he didn't do a good job of assimilating with the culture, but regardless of that, like, the doctor brings doctoring skills. Alara brings her security skills. Kelly is
in charge.
What did Lamar bring? Like, forget about how he actually acted. Why was he there?
I don't know. I Mystery. Do not know. I hate to keep drawing parallels to Star Trek, and I hope someday this show will establish itself in a way where I don't need to. But Chekhov was the original cruise navigator,
mm-hmm.
and invariably, when he would go on an away mission, he would get in some amount of, you know, life imperiling trouble. I can't point to an exact episode, but I know that he needed to stay on board as much as Lamar did.
That's funny. Okay, so what do you think about this overall plot? Does it make sense? Did it explain this concept of pure democracy? Do you feel like that it was actually successful?
I thought at a certain point you just needed to kind of go with what they were saying, because if you didn't, you would just need to turn it off, because that's the way that they were they were saying it worked. Specifically, the upvote, downvote thing. Like, so say you do get 5 million downvotes at some point in your life, but then you turn a new leaf, everyone buys it, and you get 10 million upvotes, but you still have the 5 million downvotes. There's no way to, they didn't keep track of like your ratio. They just kept track of your numbers.
Exactly. I agree with you there. And how old you were, like that would have to matter. You know, I mean, if you were a grandparent, I mean, that is a very different stage of life than, you know, especially if you start at 18 when you get your up, down, vote clicker there.
And then I'll jump ahead to the climax, the whole idea of having this final vote off, right? And the concept being, if in the final analysis, you get 10 million down votes, that you get the lobotomy.
Right.
But if you don't, then you can walk. But just a second ago, at 999,999 downvotes, you're still strapped into the chair, awaiting for your lobotomy. And what at 1 million, they're going to do it. But at 900, they'll let you go, right? So, what, like?
Yeah, but
either you're in trouble or you're not.
I mean, no. Come on now. That's the story. That's our justice system as well. I mean, it's like you're like, so one juror can say no and switch the vote. That's ridiculous. I mean, no, that is how it works. And maybe that's partially why this for me was a very anxiety ridden episode, because I thought it hit a lot of what our current lives are like. I mean, our justice system, when they say like, wait a minute, your peers just decide? That's ridiculous. That is how our justice system works. Your peers do decide. Now, the difference in this was that they were deciding based on information being put onto the master feed by a bunch of people who didn't have any real access to the facts of the story.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the court of law, where in theory, in the ideal setting, all of the information is being given and it's all being given in the most pure, right, neutral kind of way that everybody is supposed to be examining it. So obviously that is the portion, is it's the part about what is the difference about getting judged by your peers in the absence of true information and actual evidence of anything. Their system is frighteningly the same as ours. I mean, everything you were just saying about the like one vote difference, that is how our society works. It is a one vote, you're guilty, one vote, you're innocent. It can change it.
It's just the marriage of official state policy and court of public opinion that
it's scary, right?
It's scary, and it's just not married very well in this, like in terms of like being able to just think that this is that they did this in their Middle Ages
it would have been nice to get a little bit more of their society, because we really focused on Lamar and this one story, which I understand, you know, that was trying to make it very personal for our crew. But at the same time, they had mentioned that they use the same system when it comes to science and medicine. And I would have liked to see some of that stuff like in action, even if they just did it, you know, in the periphery or a news story on TV or showed us a newspaper or whatever. But if you think about it, we sort of do that too. I mean, think about this. Think of this line. 9 out of 10 dentists agree that you should, you know, chew this gum or whatever, right? I mean, we do kind of do that idea of like, well, the popular vote, the majority vote says you should do this. And I know those are dentists, right? So they're, in our minds, we say, well, they're professionals. And they should know something about our teeth health. So if 9 out of 10 of them say, then we're safe, right? But it did give me a little bit of the heebie-jeebs, especially as a mom, where I feel like how much of my information is coming across on my quote-unquote master feed, meaning the people who I surround myself with, the channels that I put on my television set, the movies that I watch, the music that I listen to, how much is being inundated into my life, right? That is like truly not fact-based, but there's so many people who are very, very certain that you're supposed to do it a certain way. And, you know, here we are sort of being like, I don't know. I think you and I are more skeptical. Obviously, we're doing a review of a television show. So we take everything that is coming at us and we try to put it through some sort of filter. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, we know a lot of people who, if they say, well, you know, 90% of the people I know do school this way, do their jobs this way, wear clothes that look like this, have opinions about politics that look like this. That's why I do it.
On a daily basis, we hear about celebrities that have wronged us in some way societally. And it's, this show did a good job of capturing the idea of that. Think of like, you know, the drunk starlet or something like that, right? Who then goes on Matt Lauer the next day and has to say how sorry she is. I mean, this is like a real thing that actually happens.
Yeah, and I think that it runs the gamut. Like, I think that there's things as silly as, and they pointed out, you know, perhaps wearing the wrong hat on the wrong day when you legitimately didn't know any better. You just picked a hat that you thought worked for you. And they really illustrated that, like that, like Alara truly didn't know anything about this cultural issue. And she put it on because she thought it looked cute or good or whatever. That reminds me of a lot of people getting very upset about various Halloween costumes every year. There seems to be a costume.
Like, what was it, Moana or something?
Doesn't matter. I mean, every year it's something.
Cultural appropriation.
Every year it's something. And it's like, on one hand, you understand it, like, okay, I guess you're right on some level. But then on another level, like Moana, it's like, yes, but it's a children's program that a lot of little kids want to emulate. And there's nothing wrong with them wanting to pick a character out of a story and want to look like them or want to, you know, dress up like them. So there's things like that that are like, okay, taken too far. Now, there's other things that I don't want to go in depth with that those are far more extreme, you know, sexual assault, doing these kinds of things, you know, is a far different thing. However, the thing that interests me across the board is these people have like no day in court. They just have like these moments where like information comes out that is not vetted by anyone. You know, an article can come out in a magazine or someone can say something on a talk show or whatever, and it is not vetted. Someone just says it and then everybody's got an opinion. Everybody decides whether Moana, the costume, is acceptable or not acceptable. You know, everyone decides whether that guy really did do that or that woman was attacked or wasn't, or she attacked someone else or whatever. Everyone decides. They already know what happened.
Well, there's in a lot of cases, there seems to be a lot of smoke, you know, the idea of if where there's smoke, there's fire. And so it's like the news does its best to, as they say, fan the flames, create as much smoke as they can. People start coming out of the woodwork. But then every so often you get a Richard Jewell type case, you know,
yeah,
where he gets crucified. And all of a sudden, they can't. Definitely, he was not the guy.
There was no fire. Sure.
There was nothing. He was the hero. They fucked him. Case closed.
Right.
Every so often, you get one of those in the way that we. That was even before social media. That was just the old timey TV news that did that to him.
And I definitely think that they did a good job of capturing the concept of like mob mentality. And I feel like there's that too. Like, you know, where someone will get accused of something, and then all of a sudden, two more people come out, and five more people come out, and 20 more people come out, and 100 more people come out, and you start scratching your head, like, where were 100 people? Like, you know, a day ago, where was everybody? And there's a little bit of that, like bandwagon, sort of like, yeah, wait a minute. I thought I saw something too. And even, you know, in actual court cases where there's things where witnesses can sort of become a little bit even confused about what they saw because they heard someone else say it like over and over again. And then yeah, they're like, yeah, right, that's the way I saw it too. Even though if you ask them originally, objectively, before anyone else said anything, they would say, no, I didn't read it like that at all. But then 10 other people say, well, this is how I saw it. And they go, yeah, I saw it that way too. And you're like, wait a minute, you know, are we just listening to what the majority said and then going with it? Or did you actually think that? A lot of people compare this concept of the pure democracy to this idea of like the Electoral College and, you know, why originally the framework for our country sort of was trying to avoid having every single individual opinion, and it was truly opinions, dictate what happens. Like, it was sort of like, well, we all need to send all our opinions to one person who is given maybe more information and hopefully has a little more access, maybe a little bit more knowledge about maybe not that particular subject, but just generally, maybe this person's had a little more schooling or a little bit more expertise, been around longer. And so, you know, we vote on who those people are and they're going to represent us and they're going to hopefully act a little bit as like a filter and inject some information into the actual opinions and then move forward with voting. I heard some people sort of be like, you know, if we got rid of the Electoral College, basically we would end up being like this up vote, down vote kind of situation.
True. Yeah. In those big elections, in the presidential election, the only time we use the Electoral College, that's true. Everybody that is eligible to vote can vote. So yeah, you're right.
And so what do we think about that? Is this sort of like a danger cautionary tale about like, this is why you don't want everybody to just do it? Because people really don't have either the time nor the inclination to really figure out if what they're hearing is the truth.
It's hard to say in our little TV podcast what is the right way to go there, because it is very charged right now, especially with the way the last election went and how different electors were coming out just publicly and saying, I don't care what any of you say, I'm voting this way, and how that's not the role that they are charged with. They're not charged with voting their conscience. They're charged with voting how they're told to vote. You know what I mean?
Right, by their constituents.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Electoral College right now, in a lot of people's opinion, and probably even mine, is antiquated and its time is gone. And even though the danger of having uneducated voters decide things, I don't know, something about that Electoral College system seems broken, you know, just broken right now.
I think antiquated definitely feels like the right word. It feels like, you know, we do have more access. It's confusing, though, at this point about the concept of having access to information. And then, like I said, the inclination to get that information, because, you know, that was one of the parts that came huge in this episode, was the idea of like, well, okay, so if we fill up the master feed with all these good things about Lamar, isn't someone going to figure this out? And LaCella is like, no way, like no one's even going to go try to figure this out at all. Well, then that's nerve-wracking, because it seems like they're technology was good enough to have access and that they probably could have figured out, you know, whether these pictures were real or not real, but they didn't care to.
Yeah. Well, and that's also, I think, one of those moments where the writers are like giving the TV watching audience the bird for being Philistines, you know, pointing fingers at us and saying that that's what you do. That's what we say you do.
Yeah. Well, definitely being like complacent, like you're just sitting out there. It reminds me so much of the Jeopardy. Not Jeopardy. It was that Saturday Night Live where they did the game show about like whether you should chime in on something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was with Tom Hanks. And it was really, really funny because it was so on the nose. I mean, it was like, you know, how you should not say anything on the internet if this is not something you know anything about. And the three contestants like could not help themselves. They were like, am I near my computer? Then yes, I chime in. And you're like, no, you don't know anything about this, you know, but they didn't care. And that, I think, was funny because it's so true. You know, people think that they have something to say even when they should not say anything, you know.
Relating to TV, how this episode seems to bear a strong resemblance to some stuff we've seen in another TV show that we like called Black Mirror.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like that Saturday Night Live skit plus Black Mirror equaled this Orville episode.
For those of you that don't know, Black Mirror is a TV series that started on the BBC. There were three episodes one year, three episodes the next year, and then there was like a special. Then Netflix took it over and put out something like 6 or 8 episodes last year, and they're planning on doing more. And the idea, people call it like a Twilight Zone type story, and I think that's close. The idea being that each episode is a one-off, not related to the other shows. It's got its own self-contained story of what if. And part of what if often seems to be, what if this current day technology or trend was carried out to kind of an absurd 20 years from now kind of situation. That was what reminded me of Black Mirror with this episode, was what if our social media obsession kind of just runs unchecked for the next several years. Will it kind of result in things that matter, like public policy and stuff, more or less getting determined the exact same way that we decide whether or not we like our mom's, you know, picture of stew that she put on Facebook that night, you know?
In generalities, yes, Black Mirror is definitely that, how you described it. But specifically, there's one episode that 150% is identical to this concept of upvoting and downvoting a person, and it was Bryce Dallas Howard, and she was exactly in the scenario where, you know, everything was determined by her voting status.
It was very very winky how close it was, because there was
the thing about she couldn't buy a house in a neighborhood, and then this, you couldn't buy the coffee in the coffee place because you had to have certain ratings,
right?
And then the rental car exactly,
right.
The same scenario. She couldn't the airline ticket, she couldn't get an airline ticket.
She had been invited to be a bridesmaid, but by the time she got there, her reputation had suffered to the point where they wouldn't even let her on the grounds anymore. Very
because
familiar.
Her popular vote on her little, you know, up down vote was so bad.
Did they wear badges? I know that they wore some kind of wearable.
I feel like it was that. I can't remember exactly how they depicted it, but basically the person could see. It was sort of like the how you can tell like a rating on an Uber driver or whatever, and how it was like you could, after you interacted with the person, you voted them how many stars or whatever.
Right.
It was the same kind of thing. So it was after like every interaction with someone, even if you didn't have an interaction. And part of the thing that happened in that episode that also happened in the Orville was that things could be taken out of context. So she was like upset in the airport about stuff that was going on, and people who were around her who knew nothing about the circumstances started rating her.
Yeah.
And were like dinging her reputation with these ratings going down and down and down. But it was like exactly the same as the anthropologist. Like, you took a photograph out of context. These men were obviously reading and their heads were down, and they didn't see that, a step or two behind them was a pregnant lady who was like, you know, would have been mannerly to offer the seat. But, you know, here they are all dinging them and they're not even looking, like, you know, they don't even know what is happening right then. I really liked the part when he was like, "Are you my lawyer?" And they said, "No, I'm your publicity officer." That was actually like, whoa. I kind of feel like we're getting very close to having publicity officers offered to the general regular public.
Right. Well, famous people have agents and they take care of that, or PR people.
No, they have PR people. That's who takes care of it. But I think that the concept of having one, celebrities also have lawyers like all the time with them. So if you think about that, like, celebrities have lawyers and PR people all the time. Well, now it seems like the average Joe is starting to have you could be famous at any time with like viral videos and all this stuff. And people seem to go out of their way to sort of find the next person, the cash me outside girl, you know, who's it going to be? And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, the concept of having a publicity officer like available to you, like at a corner store, feels freakishly possible.
For those of you that were wondering, where have I seen this guy before? You will have seen him on Enterprise, but you will also have seen him just everywhere. His name is Stephen Culp, and he has like been in all kinds of TV shows. I think he was in Desperate Housewives for a while.
And he played the publicity officer?
He played the publicity officer. And yeah, that was freaky because it seemed, I mean, the same way that we have court appointed lawyers, it was like he was state appointed, you know? So he ran his little campaign of morning show tours and stuff like that.
The fact that Lamar didn't know anything about how their society worked didn't seem to make any difference to the publicity officer or anybody in terms of like, it didn't raise any red flags.
Right.
Which kind of made me wonder if like the average citizens are that flaky and out of it that they would be that like just unaware of how the world works. That's because they weren't put off by it. I mean, they sort of asked an extra couple questions, but not like, are you injured or something? Like, why don't you know how this works?
Yeah, like how they had to buy badges from the newspaper guy. The newspaper guy, I mean, that part seemed like, okay, fortunate that they found a guy that was willing to help them, but then also not realistic at all that this newspaper guy would be selling these bootleg badge things.
Well, you know? I'll pause there and just say it makes sense that there would be a black market for fake badges, in that if you got yourself into dire straits, like you said, and had X million whatever, you may feel so desperate that you go try to trade your badge and get one. And that's what they were for. But the idea of people could just show up and just no one have a badge on them and it be like not a thing.
Right.
I mean, I guess we don't understand this culture. We don't know the whole planet. So I guess it's possible that like rural people maybe aren't a part of this or something, you know, like you could have these sort of outliers or something, but I mean,
we knew enough how to dress like them, but not anything else.
That they had badges even at all. Seems like, how did we miss that?
Exactly. Like, how did we know
that
they wore these two-tone jeans, but didn't, you know, but the most bedrock keystone piece of cultural information about this upvote downvote thing that we didn't know anything about.
No, what would have been funnier and more accurate is if they actually had like put a patch, like a fabric patch that looked like the up down vote badge, but they didn't know, like we didn't know as the Orville crew that it was an actual piece of technology. We just, like, if we could recreate the hat, then we could just recreate what appeared to be a patch, a colorful patch that everyone wore, like, you know, a United States flag or something might be on someone's chest right there, you know? But so that would have been kind of funny to me if they were wearing that and people were like, what the hell is that? You know, like, because it's like, at least there would have been some understanding that they had something on their chest, but not, we didn't know what it was.
Another part of that badge thing that I thought came off just not realistic was that there was etiquette to this, where say you did wrong somebody, like the guy who spilled coffee on the other guy accidentally, right?
Right.
And he just reaches over and goes boop and downvotes the guy. And if I'm that guy, am I supposed to be like, well, I had it coming? Or am I supposed to be like, I'm going to break your goddamn finger if you reach over here?
Or at least when you lean over and push his.
Exactly. I'd be like, bing, 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 bing.
It'd be like an it would be like a tit for tat on that one. I also thought it was odd that you were 18 when you got it, but then that little girl had the capacity to push her grandma's badge.
That seems like that should be illegal.
It seemed like it could be illegal and very freaking dangerous. Like if little infants and crap who are just bopping around on your chest could like smack at it. As a woman who have like necklaces and earrings and all kinds of stuff that you're worried little kids are going to grab, that badge is trouble, you know?
Yes. I mean, I understand that it was more of a plot device per se.
But I don't like that. I don't like when they don't make it realistic enough that you can say that's not how a society's rule goes. And especially, I am a sci-fi wife now, and I've got this husband, Paul, who is like big into understanding how a universe works, and it's got to make sense.
And this one kind of doesn't.
There was too many moments like that where you were like, I don't understand, like, how would they subsist if you kept doing this? You know, why didn't they show us more of like a lobotomy group? Like, so get this, they just put you back in your home?
Yeah, that man seemed like he needed a monitor or an aide or something. He did not seem like he was going to get up and feed himself and wipe his own butt or anything like that.
So, but then, I mean, just from a purely like logistical standpoint, how many homes are occupied by these people who are just dullards who can't pay the bills or anything? Like, this is just confusing now.
Yeah.
You just put them all back into their homes. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, at the end of the day, this one was a cute message type episode, but the way it was constructed, when you start to tease it apart, it has a lot of stuff that just doesn't make sense when you say, well, why do they do it that way? just to make the story work. Oh, well, I hate that.
Well, and especially because I think that this kind of stuff is okay to do in like a little short story or something like that. You can tell like a, like kind of a, the lottery style, you know, story. But when you are coming into a science fiction realm and you're saying that an entire planet acts this way to the point of having anthropologists study them, it can't be so simplistic as just a touch and a touch, and you don't delve into it at all. Like, you don't tell me how a million children have died because it was the opinion of the people that we should cut their heads off or something, you know? Like, I mean, you've got to tell me some other things that are more culturally interesting about an entire planet's way of doing things, because this is sci-fi and that's where you kind of want it to have a whole world. You want it to be more interesting, right?
You do. And you need it to lock together and make sense. And this only worked for just bits and pieces of this episode. But when you start to link it all together and be like, well, how would that, if that's how they do this, then how would they do this thing that would result from that?
And like we said, like the science or the medicine, like, well, how does that play out? How did it work? If, you know, do we all vote on whether someone gets chemotherapy? Do we all vote on whether or not we're all
gonna... It was more like they were voting on whether or not chemotherapy was a thing.
Yeah, I know. But then wouldn't you rather have seen some news stories in the background where things were happening because of that type of stuff too?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, this was permeated their entire existence. And I understood that sort of the message was like, look, this is how, you know, people in public doing an antic action could result in this legal situation. And oh my gosh, you know, it's all been taken too far. And I get it. But I was actually, maybe that was enough of a hook and they give me enough here that I'm like, I'm interested in this planet. And like, I want to know. But like, this episode didn't give me anything about the rest of their culture.
That's the thing about those Black Mirror episodes. I'm positive that those are put together in a writing room with, and I'm sure Seth has a writing room too, but this seems very single-minded, whereas Black Mirror seems like a lot of brains came together to kind of tailor those episodes so that they don't have as many holes like this.
Well, and I wonder too, like we kind of talked about this in other episodes where it seems like maybe the message was determined first and then it's like a stone in a puddle. It like ripples out and then they try to tell the story from the outer ring and bring it in, right?
Yeah.
But when you do that, it's like you've already reached your conclusion, and in a way that doesn't work for me, because what I need you to do is I need you to say, like we were talking about Black Mirror, where they say, well, what if this reality existed? Now let's move the ripples and go into the stone and figure out what would be the craziest crap that would have been like the most insane thing that was happening because of how this was constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like so much more interesting because you can kind of follow the progression of how you got back to this source rather than you sort of like throw the source at me and then I don't even get to see all the ripples of what this thing did. That's kind of more like, oh man, what a bummer. I didn't even get to see all that, you know?
Well, and really the best episodes of this kind of show will not lead you by the nose to the conclusion that they've already said.
Yes.
You should make.
We've talked about this on a couple of the other episodes. And again, the best ones that they've done for the Orville have been where there wasn't like a right, wrong answer. There was actually a little bit where you can be like, well, I kind of see what they're saying in this one. And I kind of understand why this other, you know, culture might do it this way or that way or whatever. But this one, I mean, who could say, oh, I think that them lobotomizing people over, you know, dancing with a statue makes good sense to me. Like nobody can draw that conclusion, which means it's like, oh man, you know, like you didn't even allow for any thought, you know?
Yeah, that's what makes me think that this is more or less just the writers, you know, making fun of us, making us the viewers feel that they have an opinion about us and the way that we approach big topics, and by not learning anything about them but still broadcasting opinions about them. But they're saying that we are all the same and that I think they're making fun of us is what it boils down to.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think about that when I think of like the Viewer's Choice Awards and like stuff like that. And they're all sort of just like, wah, wah. Or like the MTV Awards and things like that, that they're like, you know, are they all the industry on the other side sort of being like, you guys just go ahead and, you know, vote your opinions, y'all, you know, like sort of. Now, what do you think about the conclusion of this story where LaCella actually goes over and helps the Orville? She tells them how the master feed works. They do manipulate the process. And then when she goes home, they start the day over and she opts to turn the television off rather than voting on something.
Okay, we've already discussed the whole, you know, falsifying the images, but the people won't know it, that angle of it. I have recognized that Isaac has saved our bacon a freaking lot this season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Probably too much. And this seemed like they wanted to fill up the first like 40 minutes of the episode with this, you know, Black Mirror type stuff. But then they needed to get out of it in a hurry. So what do? They turn it over to the talking computer, you know, and he can just do it. That part of it was like, oh God, this is when Data figures out some, you know, he makes up the science on the spot and solves it using stuff that we could have never guessed before watching this episode. And that's just it. And that those are the worst kind of TV shows to watch. So that part of it was like icky for me.
You're right that if this is only episode 7, gosh, I can just without pressing my brain at all, Isaac fixed like 3 easily?
Something like that.
Maybe more?
Yeah.
I mean, he fixed the zoo episode.
And he more or less got them out of the Charlize Theron.
Yeah. One. Yeah, he definitely did. Yeah, you're right. There is like an awful lot just on him for the rest of the crew to be, you know, equally important in all of this. So what do you think that the message was? Like, is this reality? Are the writers being really cynical? Is there any amount of pointing back at themselves in terms of like, you know, we're also covering This Is Us and the character Kevin is, you know, so badly needing popular love and all that kind of stuff. Is there any amount of poking back at Hollywood and poking back at the idea of caring so much about what everybody thinks at all times?
I'm tempted to think that they are not pointing back at themselves. I mean, people in these situations, I mean, it, you know, like when you're watching the someone on the news who is an established person on the news and they will say something like, the media, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they're legitimately trying to convince us that they're not part of the this media. Quote unquote, the media.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do know.
So that kind of reminds me of this. I think they're only making fun of us, basically, the Joe public.
So do you think that the message is being like cynical about everybody in this popular vote or is it just plain reality? This is how people act?
Oh, I think there's a lot of cynicism with the way that it's delivered because it's, I mean, what he did was so trivial, but it's going to possibly cost him his, not his life exactly.
Yeah,
but,
no, his life. I mean, he's breathing, but that's it.
Right, right. So by making the stakes so high for something so trivial, I think that's the way that they're saying that's you. That's the way that you look.
I really wonder. I mean, I know that there are people, you know, on Facebook who I've seen say things outrageous. And then, it comes back later that, you know, someone went and told their parents and their boss and their families and their everything. And now, you know, there's all this crazy backlash. I know there was that Justine Sacco case not that long ago where, you know, she said a really nasty tweet and it was very rude and very inappropriate. And, you know, she was flying on a plane and by the time she got landed 11 hours later, it was like there was this whole hashtag, has Justine landed yet? And they were like chasing her down and ruining her life. She got fired. I mean, it's like insane. So in part of it, I'm like, you know what? I mean, this isn't so far off from reality in terms of like attacking people in that way. I mean, and that's even, I'm going to even say separate from the whole, we don't seek out the truth and we're ignorant and we have an opinion on something. This is like, not even that. This is like shaming to the nth degree. This is that bandwagon, everybody dogpile on someone. And with things like Twitter and Facebook, you can do that. You know, you can just gang up, you can hashtag somebody and go bananas, you know?
Reddit wouldn't even exist without that.
Yes, very much of the internet, in all honesty, right, would not exist without that.
It'd be just porn if you took away the flame wars.
Very true. Very true. Well, I mean, I liked that they tried to bring forth, you know, again, a societal question. I liked portions of this. There was the one funny line in the entire thing to me was when LaCella is there and Ed is sitting there and he's like, Bordas, we should have pretzels and water when people come and like have meetings. That was the funniest one moment pause that happens. Other than that, it was like,
oh, I liked when Kelly said Alara does meth. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That but yeah, the pretzels thing was such a out of nowhere comment.
Well, know? and it like stopped the whole episode because like again we were sort of like all in on this like is Lizzo gonna save them? And then he kind of looks at me, he's like, we should have pretzels and water when people come over. Like that was pretty funny. So you know that worked for me. But overall, I mean, I want them to have more faith in the viewers, more faith in all of us that they can present a more balanced look at a society and let us decide after we watch it, you know, well, which side would I fall on? Would I be more of someone who voted or more of people who didn't? Wouldn't it have been interesting if there were people who were about badges and people who were not about badges? Mm. And we sort of saw some sort of conflict between them. And there was something like, to me, that would have been like a, God, would I be a badge wearer and try to live that life? Or would I be not a badge wearer and not have anything to do with social media? Like, what would I do? Where would I fall in? Let me like be a part of it instead of sort of just spoon feeding me your message. I don't really think I need that. And I don't know that a lot of sci-fi people do.
No, I don't think we do either. And yeah, I hope that this was a one-off attempt at something, but I really don't need, I mean, I'm fine with message episodes, but I don't need another kind of heavy-handed, this is what I'm trying to tell you kind of, and what I'm telling you is that I think you're stupid kind of message anymore, you know?
Exactly. Well, we have another Orville coming out right away here, so we are going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thanks.
Catch us on iTunes or your preferred podcast software. Our website, dailyreview.com, that's D-A-L-E-Y review.com, Facebook or Twitter or wherever you find us. Please leave us a comment and a rating to let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for listening, pod people. Thanks for listening to my mom and dad.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Just go home, folks.